Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. That's page 969 in the Pew Bible. If you're not familiar with navigating through the Word, I'd ask that you'd all stand for the reading of God's Word. That's 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Would you pray with me? God in heaven, we just praise your name today. God, we are so grateful that we get to worship you in this place, that we get to know you personally, and that we have your Spirit. Lord, let your Spirit rest on us, and let your Spirit move in us. Lord, I raise up my brother Rick, who's bringing the message this morning. Lord, speak through him. I pray your words would flow through him and that we would have hearts and ears that are ready to listen, to hear your word, to obey. Lord, we are confident that your word destroys arguments, destroys every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that you'd be destroying strongholds, that you'd be destroying every area of sin and evil, and that your Spirit would reign, that you would reign here, and that your kingdom would come. Lord, give Rick the words, and I pray that you'd give him peace as he preaches today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was thinking he was going to tell you to sit down, and then I was going to ask you to stand back up just to have fun with this morning. So good morning. My name is Rick. I think most of you know me. I'm one of the deacons here at the church. And what did you guys think about that last song? Pretty awesome, huh? I got to tell you, you know, when you prepare for a message like this, there's some doubts, things come into your mind, and all I had to do was hear that song and know that the Holy Spirit just wished all that away, and he is here right now. He's going to give you the message. So if it's not awesome, not on me. Just full disclosure. Just teasing. So if you guys have been faithfully attending here over the last few weeks or so, or maybe you've been joining us online, and I do want to say welcome again. Thank you for joining us online if you're here. We've been going through this series titled, Oh My Soul. And it's asking the simple question, how is your soul? And the desire when we started this series about 3 weeks ago was for us to be honest with ourselves and be able to ask ourselves, hey soul, how are you doing? And that's a fair question when you say, these times, COVID, much, much more than just the lingering COVID pandemic that we're talking about. But how do we address these soul issues? That's what I'm hoping for today. You know, we've got this thing. I'm right in your living room if you're online. We are close. We brought this down today because we had that wonderful worship group up there today, so I'm a little closer than I typically would be. So how do we address these soul issues? Well, it has to start with acknowledging that for some of these recent times, and sometimes even longer, we've had negative effects on our life, affecting various parts of it, our relationships with our family, our friends, maybe our work. Things don't always seem to be lining up as we hoped that they would. Maybe even our relationship with Jesus. You guys feel what I'm describing at all? Anybody been feeling that over the last couple of years? I know that I have. Well, God offers us a plan, amen? He is our hope. Now, last week, we asked a question, and I thought it was a little weird, but now I know why. We asked the question, or Bobby asked the question, how many of you guys actually talk to yourselves? Right? Yeah. Oh, wow. It wasn't asked to find out how many of you guys need therapy, right? Because we would not be able to afford that as a church. But really what it was doing, it was trying to basically encourage us to use this trait that we have to talk to ourselves to actually preach to ourselves. Remember that? It's the kind of preaching to ourselves that will help us pull away from what keeps us from the power and the presence of the Lord in our daily lives. But I am interested, did any of you try to apply that this week? Did you try to preach yourself when you found yourself in a difficult situation? Did you try that? Anybody? How did it go? Was good? Good. It's kind of like muscle memory, I think. You have to do it a little bit to be able to put that into practice and have it come just so naturally to you. Today's message is confirming to us again that God is continuing to address our soul. However, my fear is that we come here each week and some of us are missing out on what our soul is actually needing, right? But there's hope. And my hope is that today's teaching will help serve as an encouraging reminder and truth that God has prepared us for whatever lies ahead in our walk with Him. Okay, so as we start to explore and exegete the text this morning, we see that Paul is in Corinth defending his ministry. We see today that Paul, and how he does that, by the way, the instructions that he leaves for us, and how we can apply that into our own lives. That's the application that we'll talk about as we leave here. So let's get right into it. You guys ready? Okay, I'm going to ask you the question. Up on the screen. Up on the screen. Oh, can you see that at all? The question is, have you ever been in battle? Okay. Not the way you think in terms of hand-to-hand combat that you see with Pastor Bobby up on the screen. And that's an actual photo, by the way. It takes a different kind of battle, which requires a different kind of response. It's a spiritual response that's founded in our belief in God, trust in His Word, and a commitment to living our lives to that Word. So in this section of Scripture this morning, Paul is addressing church members in Corinth, introducing for the first time this warfare into the conversation. And what he's doing is he's signaling the seriousness that he is giving the conflict within the church at that time. Those among the Corinthians challenging his authority are not merely competing, but they are disrupting the growth and health of the church. And Paul knows this, and it's a spiritual battle, and he knows that it has eternal consequences requiring a special response, just like we have for today. Eternal consequences. A little secret, yeah, this is what we're talking about for ourselves today. So what is the battle that Paul is talking about? Paul is alluding to an unconventional warfare requiring spiritual weapons. Really, I felt like I was going to wear like my old military uniform up here today, but it didn't fit. So I couldn't really elude that that spirit of combat batter. But if you see up on the screen the slide too, we're starting in verse 3 of our text today. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to our flesh." So among the myriad of problems that the Corinthian church was seeing at that time were claims of spiritual superiority over one another, suing one another in public courts, abusing the communal meal, and even sexual misbehavior. Paul wrote to demand a higher ethical and moral standard. And his work on that day, when he wrote this, was to tear down the strongholds of wrong thinking and behavior that he is seeing in the lives of the people in the church. Any chance you think we have any of those things here at our church? Just asking. You don't have to admit it. Think about that. Do we have our own strongholds that need to be dealt with? I know I do. Maybe today you have a struggle. It's anger, pride, coveting. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that I could name. And if you're struggling today, I ask that you just kind of sit up and hopefully take a little nugget that you can take with you on your way out. That is, of course, unless you're absolutely nailing it. Anybody nailing it out there? Just absolutely nailing it? Nope. Well, we see up on slide 3, Romans 7 is going to tell you what we're up against and why we are where we are. "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do everything I hate." There's a battle right there. So many of us struggle with this. And regardless of how little you think our sin is or my sin is, to minimize that, there is still a battle to be done. We also see in Romans verse 21 on the screen, it says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." So what is Romans 7 trying to tell us here. I think it affirms the fact that this life will be a struggle. Amen? Amen? Especially if you're a Christian, you think it's all good, but I think sometimes it's even more so. You know, here's the kicker. The struggle that we have isn't about whether or not God has prepared you guys to fight back. That's not the struggle. That happened the day that you guys received Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. The battle is within. It's getting our minds to catch up what is already true about us. It's about what resides in our heart. That you are loving, you're kind, caring, and so much more. I love what it says in Proverbs. It's not up there, but I want to read this. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects man. You are a reflection of what is in your heart. It kind of makes me want to say you are what you eat, but that would make me a bagel, and that would be kind of weird. I'm going to be that. But if you are looking into the proverbial water and you don't recognize your own face, perhaps today is the day to acknowledge that your heart is either being underutilized or maybe it's even untapped altogether. Regardless, and this is key, it's very important to know one's self and your identity in Christ. And that's the identity that you received the day you said, "I am yours, Lord." So, will your actions follow? We don't know. But it is interesting. When I became a Christian, I felt like I fought. Actually, prior to becoming a Christian, I felt like I was fighting battles all the time. And I thought, okay, I'm going to come to God. I'm going to be a Christian. There are no more battles. I was misinformed. Those battles were to keep every little piece of the world that I had gained up until this point of coming to this church. Money, material, possessions, more importantly, control. Mm-mm. Becoming a Christian, I thought would alleviate that. Yeah, no, didn't work. Truth is, I feel like I am more of a battle. But why is that? Because I know better who I am. And really, I know what's at stake. And if these battles I just described weren't enough for me, or even if it resonated in you, what have we had? We've had 2 years of COVID and isolation. That helps. Political polarization, division, distrust. When I think about distrust, I think about how many friends kind of unfriended me during the past couple of years as we went through the political turmoil and all of that, friends that I don't have as a result. There's racial diversity, driving fear, driving guilt, maybe just a general feeling of instability in our country today. And then on a personal level, I find it difficult to be able to juggle all these things. Mentally, it's been a challenge. And if I'm being honest, I think the state of Christianity feels like there's a pandemic going with, you know, within Christianity in some way. Anybody else feeling kind of these effects? You feel the same way? Well, if you're not, and somehow you've been immune to all of this, I just want to give you a congratulations. But for the other 99.999% of us, these battles are waging war on our soul, and that's why we're here having this series on the health of our soul. So we can clearly see the problem, right? We've described the problem. What's the solution? I know Diane's going to say it. Jesus Christ. Well, it does start with Jesus, but we have to acknowledge our reliance on him, right? Believing that Jesus, fully man, fully God, walked the earth perfectly in order to show us the example of how we're to live. And we have to believe that he died on the cross for us so that our sins could be washed away by his blood and we could see perfectly God the Father. That we could be imputed his righteousness to us that we did not earn. Then lastly, we believe that he rose on the third day, ascending to heaven and leaving us the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is awesome, awesome news. Because guess what? None of this would happen unless we had that. I hope you guys really do believe in that. And if so, through that relationship that we have, we now have full authority to address, tear down, and destroy this wrong thinking and wrong behavior that we see within our own church and with our own lives, just as Paul saw in Corinth. Now, as we point back to our text this morning, we see up on the screen in verses 4 and 5 that we've not only been given authority, but also the weaponry to address this battle. Starting with verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty position, every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So, we talk about weapons. I didn't bring any of my weapons, but what are the weapons? Please allow me to set the table for what Paul was describing when he was writing concerning God's weaponry, giving us to fight this war. We see up on the screen in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Let's get a little bit more specific about the weapons. The one weapon we're talking about today is the word. God's word, when used against wrong thinking and wrong behavior, can be one of mass destruction. So let's talk about what we have going on maybe in our area. Perhaps you're a UCSB student. You're struggling with the transition of being on your own for the first time. Mom and dad aren't here. What do these colleges offer? You struggle with maybe sexual temptation starting to set in. Alcohol, possibly. That's going to happen in a lot of these situations, but particularly vulnerable for young adults away from home. We see that this wrong thinking and wrong behavior can take root. And I'm not just picking on the young adults. It happens to all of us, myself included. However, we do see that we have the weapon of the word. Up on the screen, slide 7. "No temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Think about that. We get into ourselves into these situations, and we've already got a solution. We don't even have to think about that. We turn to God. He gives us that here in 1 Corinthians. So maybe you sit here today. Maybe you're dealing with bouts of depression. I mean, I think I shared a couple of weeks ago that I had gone through some of that kind of unknowingly, and with the help of Juanita, prayer, scripture, I actually got through it, but it was a very real thing. I actually used to think that people would say, "I'm depressed, I'm just depressed." And I thought, "You just don't want to go to work." No, it's a very real thing. And if that's you, it's a very real battle. An encouragement from God's word that I only want to bring to you guys, and I only have to look back as far as last week to say it. Bobby preached on Psalm 103, and these are some of the promises that we are provided. I'm just going to read this, not up on the screen. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with a steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen? Amen. So while God's word can protect us from the lies of the enemy, it can also counter some of those other attacks. For example, Jesus uses God's word as an offensive weapon in Matthew 4. Remember when Satan tried to test him in the wilderness? You guys remember that? Said in verse 8, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me.'" So then we see in Jesus' own words, used in full force in verses 10 and 11 of Matthew 4, during this attempt, he says, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord of your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Verse 11, guess what happened? The devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Now I know spending time speaking out the word as our weapon, but I just want to add kind of this encouragement. I don't want to go any further without really talking about prayer, right? We do have his word, but prayer is just so critically important. I didn't really plan to say a whole lot about this, but I do want to say that when you read the letters of Paul, it's hard to miss the centrality of prayer in both the Christian life and spiritual warfare. There's a connection. And to that point, Paul commanded believers to pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. A consistent life of prayer will set you a spiritual fire around you. Without prayer, you will not be fully able to receive all that God has provided to you. God has set up his kingdom in a way that we must consistently come to him in relationship. And we do that through prayer. That's our conduit. We need to seek him personally and ask him to be at work in our own circumstances. So what's the weapon we have? We have the word. We have prayer. So now that we acknowledge that we have this weapon of the word and prayer, how do we use this sword right here? How do we use this? Seems like it would be very easy to understand that, but not all can do that. First, we really believe that our identity is not in the things like our job, our wealth, our possessions. Rather, our identity is in Christ. You see up on the screen, just confirms that. Actually, is it up on the screen? Yeah. The one on whom you fix your eyes is both the source and the object of your identity. It may seem obvious, but in order to follow Jesus as his disciple, you have to see him as he truly is. And once you have a clear picture of Jesus, you can understand fully who you are. This is about understanding the character of God and what it says about his word. We see in Hebrews 4, starting at verse 13, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So just as important, we must believe in God's promises. He promises it, but do we believe? Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the righteous right hand." And we see further in 2 Corinthians, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to his," I'm sorry. "That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." There we are. "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us." Here's my personal favorite. Proverbs 3. You guys have heard me say this 100 times. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. And in all ways, know him and he will make your path straight." That is one of my favorites. It's so much my favorite that I went through my cancer battle. I put it on my body. Permanently, I tattooed that on my body. Here's what's interesting. You know what you don't see on my body? Romans 7. Right? What does that say about us? It says we want to glorify the good things about us, but do we really want to step up and admit some of the bad things, can I say? Some of the things that need work. But it does make me think, how easy or willing are we to do self-examination? Self-examination is important through this process, because if you don't see it, how are you going to start to use the tools that we provided to be able to correct that? Family, we have God's word as our weapon. And there are times where we have to have the confidence to use it on ourselves. Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? We're going to use the weapon on ourselves. Let's think about what we're talking about. It speaks to something that we talked about last week. We got to preach to ourselves. Talk to yourself. Preach to yourself. Now, of course, I'm not asking Fred or somebody to get a tattoo on his body to prove that he's ready for battle, although he might already have one. I'm sorry, I just had a visual there. Well, let's just admit it. We do need to preach to ourselves. We've got to talk to ourselves. God has prepared us with this word as our sword. The question is, are you ready to use it? Well, I hope so, because to have this weapon and not use it, I can't believe I actually wrote this down. I wasn't going to say it. To have that and not use it is like having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no jelly. What's the point? What? Can I get an amen? No. This is the challenge. Are we ready to finally combat these battles within? I, for one, am ready to wield the sword. Are you? And you know that because you can tell up on the screen. This is an official and certified depiction of me using this weapon against Satan, as drawn by our illustrator, Pastor Bobby. You can tell there's Satan, there's me, kind of going, but the truth of the word is that sword. It does kind of make you wonder what we do, not on Sundays when we're sitting in the office. Point being, we have this weaponry. We know Satan is going to be here every day, every step of the way. And if you feel you aren't prepared or you seem to be sitting in a space today, fighting your own battles, maybe even for longer than it feels good, feels bad, it's not great for your soul, I just want to assure you, God tells us that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to acknowledge that we're in these spots sometime. But here's the key, and hear me on this. The key is you can't stay there. You just can't stay there. And this is confirmed in Isaiah 41, verse 10, that says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now look, even for the most seasoned Christian, this isn't about our overall knowledge of life or knowledge of the scriptures. What it boils down to every week is, where do you sit on the spectrum of belief? Do you believe the stuff? Do we come here from 10 o'clock to 11:30-ish, and we check the box, and then we go home, forgetting what we talked about, not applying this in our life? I just want to challenge you and encourage you to think about the things that we're talking about today and think about what you're already geared with to be able to fight these battles. Every week we teach from the scriptures, praying that as we go out, that our hearts can be changed. I pray for the same thing, and if it's not all at once, just incrementally, let's take small steps in our faith. Now, I started by asking you guys, how many of you have been in battle? Well, now understanding the nature of that battle, can I see how many of you guys feel like you've been in any kind of battle? I hope there's more hands coming up because the rest of you are nailing it. Yes. I want to share with you guys a little bit of a recent story impactful struggle that I had just in preparing for this message. Hey, Jake, I think you could probably take that slide down. I probably shouldn't have done that. So a couple nights ago, as I was preparing dinner with my wife, she had stepped away from the kitchen, and I was just thinking about the sermon in itself, some of the points I wanted to point out, just talking to God, that kind of a thing, right? Really actually having a very good conversation. And then I heard these three words. Did you want to share? I heard these words, and they were directly from Satan. You know what he said? I better stay in camera frame here. He said, "Rick, you're not worthy. You are not worthy to go give this message today." I heard it clearly, loudly. That stopped me in my tracks. But what happened quickly, and this is a true story, I turned around, and I grabbed these pair of tongs, probably about as long as this, and I went, "No, Satan, not today." And so I thought, okay, great. I guess there it is. Can you put it back up? Anyway, and so that was an interesting interaction for me, because what it did is it showed me that I could actually lean on Jesus without even knowing that I really had to. He came in and went, "Oh no, you have that." But I did get a little started because I thought, well, what happens if Juanita comes around the corner, or, you know, like Randy drops off oranges every once in a while, or the UPS guy drops stuff off in our window to our kitchen's right there, and you can see in. I mean, what would they have imagined? Like, what in the world is going on in that house as I'm with my tongs? Well, at that moment, I was able to seek and set my mind on the things above. And I'm going to leave you guys with a few encouragements that would help you find yourself during these trying missions. A little bit more of the You want to acknowledge that your relationship with Christ is worth fighting for? Is it worth fighting for? It is. The tools that we need to fight these spiritual battles, they're already in us. God gives us a pathway to not only recognize those tools, but how to use them successfully to wage our war against the enemy, as we talked about. And here's the most awesome part. God has specifically enlisted you. Yes, Satan will always be there, and those flaming arrows do come our way. However, it's not like there are two opposing forces here. In this battle, God is going to win. As we go forward today, our homework is, in every situation, to seek patience, kindness, and in times where you find you would have otherwise reflected in some other fleshly way. The whole goal with today is to take that reaction that would be in the flesh, and let's look to our spiritual weaponry. It can be life-changing as we start to live out the victory that we experience in our soul. Can I have the band come on up, guys? Now, over the next couple of songs, we're going to be taking communion. And I just want to read some scriptures that honor the sacrifice that we've been given so that we can have this eternal life and that we honor through communion. This is taken from 1 Corinthians 11. And it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We invite you to take communion. This is just a reminder that if you're not a Christian, we're not asking you to come up and take communion. We probably ask that you don't do that, right? Because we're not asking you to proclaim something that's just not true about you yet. But you're invited to the table. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifices that you made for us. We thank you for the spilling of your blood to cover our sins, our iniquities. We thank you for breaking your body, piercing your side, Lord, that so we could have a long-lasting, eternal relationship with you. Lord, we love you. We trust you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.